Afternoon. I'd like to turn to the Old Testament, read from 2 Chronicles, chapter number 34. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in his ways, in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves, and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he brake in pieces, and made dust of them, and strawed it upon the graves of them that sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Our reading here this afternoon is that Josiah was a young man, and that which he had done in his life was all accomplished while he was yet a young man. He was only 8 years old when he became a king. He was 16 years old when he sought the Lord, meaning that he was seeking to do what God would have him to do, seeking to understand him more and to know him and his ways. So at only 16 years old, he sought the Lord. At 20 years old, he purged Judah and Jerusalem from idolatry. At 26 years old, he rebuilt the house of God. At 26 years old, likewise, he read the law that was found, the word of the Lord. And also at 26 years old, he held a Passover like no other king of Israel ever had, from the time of Samuel, the Bible says, and throughout the kingdoms of Judah and Israel. No other king held a Passover like Josiah did. And he did this at 26 years old. Then at a young age of 39, he died. He was a young man. He was a young man, but he sought the Lord. And he strove to follow after the Lord, even from his very youth. And it's so refreshing as you're reading through the books of Kings and Chronicles, and you're reading about this next individual who becomes king, and it says either he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, or he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And Josiah, clearly, as it's stated here in verse number 2 that we read, that Josiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And so he was a good example. He was a good example for our young men and for all who would strive to do what God would have them to do. The Apostle John wrote in his epistle, and he writes to young men, just as Josiah was. He writes to them, and he says, "I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one." And so our young men can likewise be, even as King Josiah was, one who gave himself over to the Lord, who yielded himself to the Lord, who put the word of the Lord first in their hearts and in their lives, and sought to follow after the Lord, and great blessings ensued for not only that individual's life, King Josiah's, but also for all the people who dwelt in the land of Judah and Jerusalem and round about. So as we work our way through this reading, Let's consider the potential and the strength that young men have. You know, there are lots of challenges for the youth, for young men. There are challenges to follow your heart or to follow what you see. But Ecclesiastes speaks to this. Ecclesiastes says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart." Walk in the ways of thy heart. What does the Bible say about our hearts? It's desperately wicked. It's desperately wicked. So he's saying, walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes, of your eyes, look through that lens. And then it says, but, if you do, know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Truly, there are many challenges to young men. Certainly, their ambition can be misguided. The desires can be wrong. And if a young man simply, as it says here in Ecclesiastes, walks in the ways of thine heart, there can be great trouble with going that route, and in the sight of thine eyes. Pursue after things that will bring damage to the physical body, perhaps, damage to the mind, because you're walking in the ways of your own heart and after your own eyes, and looking at things through your own individual lens, and think you are invincible. There are challenges with walking in the ways of your own heart and in the ways of, and through the lens of your own eyes. If an individual, male or female, walks in the ways of their own heart and through their own eyes, through the sight of their own eyes, again, lots of trouble can come. Lots of trouble can come. But the Lord has a better way. The Lord has a better way. The Bible says that we look not at those things which are seen, but at those things which are not seen. For those things which are seen are temporal, but those things which are not seen are eternal. We don't walk by our sight, because we would be led astray. There are many kings that were in Israel and even in Judah as well, but certainly in Israel, who walked by the ways of their own heart and by their own eyes. And they fell into great trouble. But we walk by faith. We walk by faith. We look at those things which are not seen. And so how is it that a young man can cleanse his way? Psalm 119 speaks to that. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. When we look at God's word, even as our young man, even as a 16-year-old, as Josiah was, when he sought the Lord, that we can cleanse our way by looking into God's word. By finding what does God have for me? What does God want for me? How can I please the Lord? And how can I give my life to the Lord as is due unto him, that I would not walk in my own way, not according to my own heart or through the lens of mine own eyes, but that I would use the strength and the power that the Lord has given me to his honor and to his glory, that I might have an eternal reward, not a temporal reward, not one that would simply give me a pleasure for the evening and then realize there's a great price to be paid later for that. But in a manner where there's eternal consequences. There's eternal consequences. And we don't want to yield ourselves to our own heart's thinking or our own eyes' vision, but looking at those things which are not seen because they are eternal, and we take heed according to God's word. And we can cleanse ourselves and be right in God's sight. King Josiah did that. He sought the Lord. He sought the Lord. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. There were certainly opportunities for King Josiah to do things in his kingdom. He was just a young man, and he could have shown his great power that he had and had done some things wrong. But he declined, not to the right hand nor to the left. For in the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek the Lord, the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, okay, so not 12th, he's now 20 years old, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. At 20 years old, he makes a decision. I've sought the Lord, been walking in his ways for these 4 years from 16 to 40, 20, and he's really wants to yield himself to the Lord and use the strength and the power that he has to the honor and the glory of the Lord. Again, the Apostle Paul writing to young men and saying, I write unto you because ye are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. And so King Josiah was in this way. He did this. And at a young age of 20 years old, he begins to purge Jerusalem and Judah of idolatry. And he's fully engaged in this. It's not that he resides in Jerusalem and he's on the throne and he tells some men to go out through the land and as much as you can get rid of the idolatry, all these things that are that were used for idolatry. But no, he took part in it and he went with the men as they took down the high places and the groves and carved images and the molten images, and they broke down the altars of Balaam in his presence, meaning that he was there. King Josiah was there as they were tearing down the idolatry in the land. The images that were on high above them, he cut them down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images, he broke in pieces and made dust of them and strawed them upon the graves of them that sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. A young man, 20 years old, and he's in charge of this purging of the land. Get the idolatry out. No remnant of it at all. And we're going to break it into pieces. It's going to become dust. And we're going to take this dust and straw it over the priests who sacrificed and who worshipped these idols. And it says, and so he did in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon and Naphtali, from the northern part all the way down to the southern part. Naphtali was up in the north. Simeon was down in the south. And Judah was down in the south likewise. And he cleaned the land. He cleaned the land of the idolatry. And then, after he was all done, it says, then he went back to Jerusalem. And then it says further, then, now in the 18th year of his reign, so now he's 26 years old, because he was 8 years old when he began to reign, and now this is the 18th year of his reign, so 26 years old, and when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. The land's purged of idolatry. Okay, now there's no more idolatry going on. And he finds it in his heart because he sought the Lord, because he was strong in the Lord, because he wanted the word of the Lord to be in his heart. And so now he has this desire to, let's repair the house of the Lord. It's in a state of disrepair. Let's repair the house of the Lord. And so they do. They began to repair the house of the Lord. And things are going well. And as they are repairing the house of the Lord, we read here further in chapter 34, that they come across the book of the Lord, the word of the Lord. They found it. Shaphan finds it, and he brings it, and he reads it to the king. And when the king hears what the words of the Lord is, he recognizes that there is certain destruction coming to Jerusalem and to Judah because of the result of the idolatry that was in the land. And he weeps. And he humbles himself. And he says, go to the prophetess. I believe her name was Huldah. Yeah, Huldah. And ask of her, what's going to become of this? How is this going to be? And Huldah says, yeah, it's going to happen just as it's written there in the Lord, in the word of the Lord. It's going to be, Israel's going to be destroyed, and you're all going to be taken captive because of the idolatry that was in the land. And then she says, but further, but the king that sent you, because he humbled himself and because he wept and he rent his clothes because of the evil that his forebearers did, the Lord says, I am not going to do this in your time. It won't happen during your time. And so they get word again and they come back to Jerusalem, and it says that King Josiah gets all of them together and he reads the law to them. He reads this the word of the Lord that they found in the house of the Lord, and he reads this to the people. And it says that he made them to serve the Lord their God. And in all his days they departed not from following the Lord, for the God of their fathers. This is what a young man did, because he yielded himself to the Lord. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. Young men can be cleansed and made right with the Lord when we partake of his word. This is what King Josiah did. And it was a blessing. It was a blessing to not only him and his household, but throughout all Israel at this time. There was a great blessing to them. There was a time of joy and of prosperity. And then in this same year, in the 18th year of his reign, again, he's still only 26 years old, he decides to have a Passover like none other. Like none other. And there was the priests and the Levites, and everyone came and became involved, and there was the number of oxen and all those things that were sacrificed unto the Lord, and they were all edified, and they rejoiced in what the Lord had done for them and in this Passover that they kept. Now, the rest of the acts of Josiah and his goodness, according to all that was written in the law of the Lord and his deeds, first and last, and behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and of Judah. He was one who did right in the Lord. And many were blessed because he was one who yielded himself to the Lord. I'd like to step through some verses in the New Testament that speak to this of young men who, if they yield themselves to the Lord, can be strong in the Lord and can overcome the wicked one and allow the word of the Lord to abide in their hearts. In Lamentations, Jeremiah, he writes a verse here. And in a little bit of context, Jeremiah was the prophet that was the prophet during the time of King Josiah. They lived together. They were contemporaries one of another. And Jeremiah certainly saw what King Josiah did. And so Jeremiah in Lamentations writes, "It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth." In other words, labor for the Lord, even at a very young age. Labor for the Lord, even at a very young age. It will establish good patterns. It will allow the Lord to multiply and bless your efforts. It is good for a man that he bear his yoke in his youth. And Jesus says in Matthew 11, just before the reading that we read this morning, that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we yoke ourselves with our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, his yoke is easy. And we will be fruitful in our ways. We will allow the light of Jesus Christ to shine forth. And so it's good. It's good for a man in his youth to bear the yoke. The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy saying, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." Six things are listed here. And the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, be this example. Be this example of the believers. Maybe there's some middle-aged and older ones, but be an example of the believers in their youth. So in word, so in our speech, what we talk about, how we talk, the language that we use, it should be an example of what a believer would speak as. In conversation, meaning in our lifestyle, in our conduct, we should be an example of the believers. In charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. In purity, that we should be an example of the believers even as a young man. Certainly, King Josiah did this likewise. In purity, not defiling themselves with other things. The Apostle Paul also writes to Timothy in the second epistle, and he says, "Flee also youthful lusts. Go away from them. Don't follow after the things of your heart or in the things that you see. Those things will lead you astray. And know that for all those things, God will bring thee into judgment." So he's saying, flee also youthful lusts, but follow after four things. He says, after righteousness, faith, charity, and peace, with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. Follow after these things. Follow after righteousness. The righteousness that is of the Lord. Not as it was, as we heard about this morning, of the Pharisees, who were not fair in the way they had their judgment. They were hypocrites. But they had their own set of righteousness. But it wasn't according to the righteousness of God. And so walk in the ways of righteousness. Follow after righteousness. I'm about ready to partake in something. Is this righteousness? Is this in righteousness? Would this be well and good? Would God be pleased with this? Will I be a good example of the believers if I partake in this? Follow after righteousness. Follow after faith. Follow after charity. And follow after peace. Follow after peace. We can be righteous, and we can be righteous in peace. We can speak the truth, but we can speak the truth in love likewise. The Apostle Paul also writes to Titus, and he tells Titus, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Sober-minded. So we think right away, oh, okay, you're not drunk. Well, so being sober-minded goes far beyond simply not being intoxicated. Being sober-minded is not only free of alcohol, but also just simply aware of everything that's going around about you. Being aware of things. Is this situation going to lead itself into a bad situation? Should I be here at this time, or should I leave? And so he's exhorting, tell the young men, be sober-minded, in all things showing a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Again, young men, to be sincere in our efforts and in our labors. You're strong, the Apostle Paul, or the Apostle John writes. You're strong, and the word of God abides in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Be sincere in that faith. Be sincere in that way. And the Lord will bless. In Proverbs we read, the glory of young men is their strength. Every stage of life, every phase of life has its strengths and has its advantages. But for the young men, when you're young, there is strength there. There is strength there. King Josiah had strength. And he went forth and he purged the land of Judah and Jerusalem of idolatry, even from Naphtali all the way down to Simeon. And then he rebuilds the house of the Lord, and he seeks the Lord. And he reads the word of the Lord, and he holds a Passover like none other. He did that in his strength. He did that in his strength. And the glory of young men is their strength. The Lord can use you as young men in ways that in ways that older men aren't able to be used, or even women are not be able to use be used. There is strength there. Use that strength to the glory of the Lord. Exalt his name. Again, I hope that this verse in 1 John chapter 2 remains with you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. The second half says, I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abides in you, because you partake of the word of God daily. Because when you wake up, you grab your Bible in whatever format that is, online or a hard book, and you grab that word, and you read some verses, and you take that, and let that be your strength for the day. And then you're going through the day and you're remembering that verse that I read this morning. And so allow the word of God to abide in you. Again, Wednesday night we heard we should take the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip or to forget about them. So take the word and let it be alive in your heart. And then you have overcome the wicked one. King Josiah had many opportunities to do that which was wrong, but he didn't. He overcame the wicked one. He overcame the idolatry that was in the land, and he abolished it. He took it out of the way. Likewise, by the grace of the Lord and in the strength of the Lord, you can abolish that which is evil and that which the Lord would not have us to do, and walk in the ways of the Lord and according to his word, and be a blessing. And again, as Josiah, yielding himself to do that which was right in the Lord, blessed his life, it blessed others likewise. And you young men, as you yield yourself to the Lord and allow the strength that you have to be used to the furtherance of God's kingdom, and allow his word to be rich and full in you, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, and in rightly dividing that word of truth. And then overcoming the wicked one. And then to all of us, the Apostle Paul says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We can go forth in the power of the might of the Lord because he resides in us. And it's no longer about ourselves, but it's about serving the Lord and about doing his will and being a light to this world and being a blessing to this world. There's a song that we sing often, and I've sung it from my youth when I was just but a teenager, perhaps even before, and it's still a blessing each time we sing it. I'd like to read just a few verses of it. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus, led by his Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above. Amen.